Blog Talk Radio.
NFL Draft Final Player Spotlight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Player Spotlight Show. I am your host, Aki Euro Jones. Today, we're going to have a conversation and get really deep into the nitty-gritty, the ugly part, the unsexy part of football. We're going to be talking with Elliot Miller, maybe I should say center, but he also plays guard, but he also plays tackle. He plays everything on the offensive line. So we're going to talk about somebody who's supposed to be the more cerebral player on the field, also is athletic enough to slide all over. So, Elliot, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing real well. It's an honor to be speaking with you, and I really appreciate you doing this for me.
No problem, man. Listen, you're the one putting in the hard work now, preparing yourself for, you know, one of the biggest job opportunities or job interviews you'll have in the next few months. So, talking about your training, where are you at now training, and how's that going for you over the past month?
So I'm training. I'm still living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm training at a place called Barwis Methods in Plymouth, Michigan. So it's about a half hour from here, and it's actually the strength coach that I had my first 3 years at Michigan. And, you know, he's got his own place now and then trains out of there. So it's good to be back with him. And, you know, he's really the best at what he does, and he's had guys like Mike Martin and Dave Malk and Damian Cook and guys like that that you know, have done well being within his program. You know, Larry Foote's working out there, and so it's good to be around those kind of guys and you know, be around professionals and give yourself a good opportunity.
Well, with such a strong like football tradition that Michigan has, you have a lot of players that are already in the NFL. So are you reaching out to any of these guys just to get any inside info on what GMs are looking for or what you should be working on as far as preparing for the draft and preparing to, you know, make a transition into possibly being an NFL player?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I was saying, you know, working with a guy like Mike Barwis and being – you know, just naturally, you're going to be around a lot of talented people. You know, like I mentioned, Damian Cook, he played in the league for a lot of years, and he's now a coach there. And you know, he trains and works with the offensive line. You got Dan Moses, who's a Remington Award winner at West Virginia, and he works there. And then obviously current players, like I said, Brandon Graham, Larry Foote, Dave Malk, and Mike Martin, who I, you know, got to play with at Michigan. So all those guys, you know, it's nice being at Barwis Methods because I can be around those guys and talk to them, you know, hey, what, like you said, you know, all the little things, you know, what do I need to be prepared for? And, you know, whether it's going into interviews or going into workouts, you know, and even going into camp, which, you know, I'm hopefully going to get the opportunity to do, you know, and those guys have been, you know, more than helpful, letting some of us trainees right now, you know, pick their brains. So it's really good to be there.
Well, Big Ten football is known as being a very, very physical division in football. And, you know, playing the O-line, you playing center and being moved around, what position have you felt more comfortable at playing O-line? Like, where do you feel that you can be as aggressive, especially in the run game, from which side, what spot, center, guard, or tackle?
You know, it's funny. I've been asked that, you know, several times within the last month. And for me, I'm really comfortable in all the positions. And, you know, you probably wouldn't expect someone to say that, but, you know, since my career, I came in at right tackle, and that's kind of where I got started out at. Bounced over to left guard, then to right guard. I played a little center earlier on in my career when Dave Malt got hurt, and then, you know, I played left tackle too, and in the NFLPA game I played left and right tackle, and I didn't get any snaps in the interior. So, so you know, the versatility that I have, I don't even know where I feel most comfortable, because I feel very comfortable in all the positions. You know, anywhere I'm thrown in at, you know, I've had a lot of practice at it. So, and it's good knowing that you know, there's no spots that I'm afraid to play, and you know, I'm very comfortable across the line. So that's a good feeling.
Well, I kind of expected you to say that because when an NFL scout speaks to you, I'll just give myself, for example, when I was with the Redskins, we had to move. I had to play O-line for scout team during some point because the guys were down. And they were like, hey, mm-hmm. Akeem, you know, if there's any packages, we might need you to move to O-line. Can you do it? Will you play it? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can play O-line. I'm good at it. I played it before, even though I never played O-line in my life. But, like, yeah. You know, the more you can do, the more, like, the longer you're going to stay. So, hell, who is going to say, yeah. No, I feel comfortable just this play? So I completely understand yeah. that you gave the right answer.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. There's guys, you know, in college that have preferred positions. You know, I've known guys over the years that, you know, say, hey, I just play, you know, right guard. That's the only spot I like playing. I don't like playing tackle. It's uncomfortable or whatever. And then over the course of my years, obviously when you look at my career, that's one of the big things that sticks out is, you know, and maybe it was almost a curse for me in college that I looked at that whenever someone went down or there was an injury, you could always throw Elliott Mealer into a different spot and I would, you know, perform well there. And now going into, you know, looking at it professionally, it's been a blessing that I've had all those reps, all the positions on the offensive line, and it's really helped.
See, as a defensive lineman, I really thought you would kind of also lean to saying you want to play inside so you can get away with most holding, because I don't know any offensive lineman who does not hold on for their life on every play. It's the most infuriating thing I ever had to deal with is you guys holding, especially the centers. Like, my whole thing with centers is unreal. Like, you guys do the most incredible job of holding and getting away with it.
I've never held before, so I don't know what you're talking about. So,
well, let's talk about the collegiate game. I heard that you did pretty well, and actually today I had a chance to interview your quarterback, Dane Chris.
Oh, okay.
And what he was, you know, one thing about him, even though he had like a troublesome you know, collegiate career, he really jumped back onto the good graces of a lot of scouts because he had such a great two good games in these all-star circuit. So for you, what did you think? You know, what did the coaches you think took away from your performance at these camps? Because I always say like players are going to step up in those kind of all-star games because you know you were getting coached by Dick Vermeil and you had all these great NFL coaches there. So how it's easy to learn when you have such great coaching around you. So how did you feel, you know, they looked at you taking corrections and adjusting to moving around? Did you think you did a good job of that, and did you get any good feedback from that?
Yeah, you know, it was a really neat opportunity for me because, you know, I was hoping to get a chance to play in a game. And, you know, long story short, I got the opportunity to play in that, and it was great. It was a pretty exciting feeling. And like you said, you mentioned, you know, Dick Vermeil and, you know, Herm Edwards was on the other side, and, you know, I got to be coached by Will Shields, who was, you know, one of the best offensive linemen to play the game. And, so, you know, you really get to learn from guys like that. And Coach Hannafitt was coached with the offensive line. He's been around for probably since football got started. But, you know, it was great to be in that atmosphere. And so for me, you know, going out there, they told me, hey, we need a tackle. And I said, hey, that's my spot, you know. Any spot's my spot. So,
right.
You know, I went in at left tackle, and that's pretty much where I got most of my reps throughout the week and you know, in the game. And bounced over to right tackle a little bit, and it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't play any interior spots. I didn't get any snaps in interior spots, not one. So, for me, you know, it was you know, the opportunity to show that I could play on the outside. And, you know, handle that well. And so I did get some good feedback, you know, from scouts and from the coaches. I mean, Coach Vermeil's staff was, you know, full of great coaches. And so, you know, even, you know, other position coaches were coming up to me and saying, hey, you look really good out there, Wolverine. You know, we'll keep your name in our minds, Mealer. You know, you're doing well. So, and that was a rewarding feeling to have that. And then obviously, you know, to be surrounded by guys like Dane Chris and all the other guys that were out there. I mean, Dane was very, you know, it was neat being around him just because he had a really good huddle presence. And, you know, really treated it like a professional. So, you know, to be around other players, you know, you know, being in Michigan, I was around the best players, but,
right.
you know, going into a different atmosphere and playing next to somebody different that you don't really know, you know, that's kind of what the NFL is about. You know, there's, you're not, you haven't been with these guys 5-6 years, you get put on a team and you got to learn to function quick and operate
right.
and being able to have some chemistry. And I thought I did a pretty good job at that. You know, it wasn't perfect, but I thought I did a really good job and learning the offense and all that stuff. And it was really exciting and a good way to get into training, you know, heading into training.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, a boost of encouragement for me going out there and playing in that.
Do you think there was any difference between the flow of the practice they were running and what you were used to in college? Because that's one thing I asked Dane about. He was like, Charlie Weiss was his coach the whole time. So he was used to kind of like that pro-style kind of practice. And that's kind of, I guess that's why it translated to him, you know, having a good huddle presence. Did you feel there was any change of tempo or anything differently that you saw happening as far as the way they ran an NFL practice as opposed to what was happening over at Michigan?
Yeah, you know, I would say it was very similar. You know, and I like to think Michigan's, you know, one of the top programs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Coach Hoke runs practices, I mean, you know, the thing that sticks out in my mind is Coach Vermeil said, hey, when we get out to the field, we don't want to waste any time. The same thing is going to go for you when you get out into the professional world, no matter what team you're on. Practice is, you know, very precious, and you don't want to waste any time, whether it's in meetings or practice. So we're going to be running to each drill and moving. And, you know, lucky for me, I'm pretty much used to that. You know, with Coach Rod and with Coach Hoke, you know, there was never any wasting time when, you know, the horn blew and you were going to the next station.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let's get to it. Let's get to work and let's get better today. So, you know, for me, it was neat being, you know, already kind of assimilated to that.
And, well, listen, this is the part I kind of get interested in. When I first got into the NFL, I came from a small school, so I wasn't used to having good coaching. And I was excited to just learn little tidbits and just tricks of the trade as far as using my hands to D-lineman and pass rush and hand placement against the run. When working with Will Shields and going in the film room, are there any, like, small things that you probably weren't paying attention to before as an O-lineman that you picked up and said, damn, I can't wait to use that on the field?
You know, I wouldn't say it was so much things that maybe I hadn't focused on. You know, my offensive line coach at Michigan, Daryl Funk, he is, I would say, a very detailed person. He's, you know, and he probably self-proclaimed nitpicker. He gets very, very into the details. And so, you know, I was kind of used to that already. But, you know, with being around Coach Shields, just like you would be, you know, Coach Hanifit, when you're around other guys, you know, they may have different techniques that they like to use. So there were little things that Coach Shields, you know, on, you know, maybe blocking a guy initially, you know, maintaining that block. There were a lot of things that, you know, he showed that were different than what I was coached at Michigan. And it was kind of neat to say, huh, you know, I never thought of doing it that way.
Right.
You know, it's pretty neat. So, yeah, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, I guess you could say, you know, looking forward to playing in the game or going into practice. And I want to use that thing that Coach Shields showed me, you know, in the meeting room or whatever. So that was kind of neat to be in that. And I think that's, you'll get that with any coach, you know, if you bounce around. You know, I had two O-line coaches in college, and, you know, both had different ways of teaching, you know, things that would hopefully get you to the same, with the same result. So it was just neat to be around a different coach, and not that either one, you know, necessarily does it better than the other.
Well, now to piggyback off the success you had at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, we're going to move on and talk about the upcoming Combine. You might. I don't care what you call it. The Michigan Pro Day is a combine because I'm pretty sure all 32 teams will be in attendance there. So it's pretty much the NFL combine again.
Yeah.
You've been working on a lot of things. What do you think is your biggest strength going into the combine? Like, what is there any particular drill you're excited to go into where you know, like, if I do this, I'm probably going to be the top three in the nation, top five, at doing this? Is there anything that you like, you're just looking forward to getting done that you know you're really going to like just blow out the water?
It's funny you ask that. I'm going to give you an honest answer. It's probably what you're thinking I'm going to say, but I'm excited to do all of them. It's been a while since, I've really done some of these drills, run 40s, things like that. It was just something we hadn't, really done the past couple of years in Michigan because, running 40s for, you're not really preparing for combines, when you're a junior in college. But, so for me, getting the coaching techniques and pointers and things like that from, Coach Barwis, I mean, for me, it's like, oh, wow, it's almost new to me. And so now after a few weeks where I'm really feeling comfortable with all of it, and vastly improved a lot of my times just based on the technique that I use, from day one, it makes me excited to go out there and do the cone drills or, even just do bag drills as an offensive lineman, run the 40. My bench has been improving. It's kind of exciting. And even though I have some time, basically a month until that comes, I'm anticipating the opportunity to go out there and, really see what I'll be doing when I'm after a month of preparation and really getting comfortable with everything. So it's exciting to look forward to that, I guess.
Now, is there any one drill that makes you nervous? I know for me, being 6'5", because I was 6'5", about 295, and that L drill was just like the bane of my existence. Like I hated doing that because that was really my worst drill. Everything else I felt, that one was, I just thought it was awful. So is there anyone that, you're just kind of nervous about, like, Jesus, just let me get this and I'll just be okay. Like,
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. When I first started training with Mike, there were a few things that I go, like I just said to you, I was a little bit nervous. I was like, man, I haven't done this. I haven't done a three cone drill like this. It's been a while or I'm just unfamiliar with it. But, now, just after training with him for a while and getting the coaching techniques, it's kind of like the same thing we were talking about with being coached up at the NFLPA game where, somebody teaches you a different technique and it's like, man, I'm kind of actually excited now that I'm comfortable using that or now that you've taught me that, I'm excited to go out and perform it. So, for me, I'm really, I guess we'll find out when pro day comes, but I feel really good about all the drills and early on, probably not so much, but now after getting all the coaching, I feel really good about them. So, and still have a little bit of work to do, but, it's really comes down to the technique and, Mike's been great coaching that and nitpicking little things and, I've gotten a lot better at all of them, so it's a good feeling.
Now, just athletically and technique-wise, what are you working on? Because, like you said, you've been playing center, guard, and tackle. Most people think that all those positions on the line are pretty much exactly the same, but there are different things as far as, kicking and foot placement and everything that goes into those. So what are you doing to improve, like, your technique in each one of those positions? Because, at tackle, you're going to have to kick out there pretty quickly and then keep your balance, of course, against those, like, quicker ends. So what are you doing as far as each of those positions, like, to help improve yourself? Because I'm going to assume, like, with every tall player, I've been told since I was 14, stay low, sink your hips, not your waist.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, it's been neat being around, and I've said it already, but, Damian Cook, who's been in the league, and he'd been in the league for a while and had a lot of coaching. He puts us through almost a gauntlet of drills, and then Dan Moses, him too, those two both put us through a lot of drills, to keep us in that football shape.
Right.
And we do that 5 days a week. So for me,
5 days a week.
Yeah, absolutely. We go through a lot of drills, you know, and that's not the 40 and things like that, just O-line specific drills where he's putting us through stuff. And you know, they're both telling us, hey, this is what the NFL's like. You know, you'll do this drill every day. You know, setting cones up and things like that. And it's pass set and run blocking and all that stuff. So for me, you know, I've done, they understand my, you know, position, obviously, where I said, hey, today I want to work tackle stuff. You know, tomorrow I want to work snapping, you know, and we got NFL footballs in there and getting comfortable with that. And, you know, okay, tomorrow I want to work guard and left guard, right guard, you know, flipping and getting both sides of work. So it's been a good balance of that. You know, I couldn't be around better guys that have had the experience of being around, you know, that NFL atmosphere and being able to coach us up. So, you know, that's really, really been important for me to make sure that, you know, now that, you know, I don't necessarily have a position that I'm, you know, focusing on.
Right.
You know, I have to spread it out and focus on all of them and you know, make sure I'm staying fresh on all of them. And like I said earlier, I'm feeling really comfortable at all of them, and it's kind of a strange feeling because, you know, you go from right tackle and you get comfortable there, and then you go over to left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And, geez, I'm comfortable here too. Like, all right, well, this is good. So, and it's just a matter of staying on top of that stuff and making sure I don't focus on just one spot, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, staying low and bending the knees and all those things. That could be a pain if you haven't done it in a while. So I'm just making my body used to it now and keeping it there.
Are you guys doing any one-on-ones at any point during the one-on-one D-line pass rush during training?
You know, haven't. You know, we've done, you know, drills very similar to that. But, you know, I've never been crazy about doing that without pads. You know, there's not a whole lot you could do. You know, it's just a joke, you know, as far as if you're just in a T-shirt or whatever and you're in a training room and you know, we haven't been able to really get into that a whole lot just because, you know, it's funny as an offensive guy, it's always like, well, the defensive guy is going to go longer than he's supposed to. Somebody's going to get tangled up, mess up a shoulder or something, you know. And so we haven't done much of that, but we've done a lot of drills to you know, simulate the pass sets and things like that.
See, for me, I always enjoy doing one-on-one pass rush without pads because, for me, it gave me the opportunity to work on finesse moves. And I always look at one-on-one pass rush drills with those high school combos they do, and I always find it funny because D linemen, I'll give it to the D linemen, always break the unwritten code. Like, you do not bull rush on one-on-ones with no pads on. And they do it. You always see the old line get pissed off, like, I'm going to cut this dude next time he does it. So that's the one. But it gives everybody out to me, like for old linemen, it gives them the opportunity to just, like, to be more athletic because they're going to have to use their feet and kind of mirror the guy more for defense. You're going to do more hand fighting and, you know, use your speed. So I always like that because it helps me focus on another part of my game rather than just, like, you know, going upfield three steps and stabbing or, you know, doing all kinds of, like, bullying moves.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, you absolutely have to work on that stuff. And that was, you know, something we did actually at the NFLPA. You know, we did maybe just one day that I can't remember the days we were in pads or weren't or whatever. But, you know, we did one day of it, and sure enough, somebody bowled and, you know, guys got a little mad. And they're like, hey, cool it down. But it gives the offensive line, you know, D line when they play by the rules, you know, the gives the O line an opportunity to show, you know, all right, I know this guy's working speed, you know, is he gonna go up and under on me? Is he gonna spin, you know? And that forces you to have really good hands, really good feet too, obviously, but because you know, when you know he's not bull rushing, you know, it's almost more pressure on you. Because it's like, all right, this guy's pretty fast. You gotta be ready. You gotta be literally stay on your toes and be ready to move.
I was gonna say, how intense does that get? Because, like, especially with the All-Star games, and you do one-on-one drills, or like, even just full pad, it's like there's a lot of egos over there because everybody's the star and everybody's trying to impress the coach. So, like, it gets intense because, like, even during rookie camp, it was intense and it was funny. I remember Greg Williams saying, like, it was getting kind of chippy, and he was like, listen, actually it was like we had a defensive meeting about it, and then our D-line coach, Greg Blouse, was like, listen, I don't care if you get into a fight, but if you get into a fight and lose, we're going to fine you. It was getting intense because, you know, what if all on the line like that? You know, I think that's one of the rare cases where, you know, you can get all that aggression on, especially the one-on-one pass rushing drills.
Yeah, especially if you stick, you know, a D lineman, you get a good punch on him and shut him down. It's pretty pretty good feeling, you know, that he's locked down and there's nothing he can do. But it's funny you say that, because out there, the first day of practice, you know, Coach Vermeil, when we were kind of getting, you know, used to how he runs practices and what he likes to go through first, well, we did some drills, and then he goes, all right, we're going to go through walkthrough, and then we're going to get practice started. Well, we all lined up, you know, offense versus defense, and they go, hey, this is just a walkthrough. And I can't remember if we were in pads or, you know, we never went full pads, but we might have been in shoulder pads. But I'm thinking we were just in jerseys. I can't remember. But, you know, I mean, I know for myself, and I'm pretty sure I can speak for everybody in the offense, especially the O-line, you know, we're like, screw that, man, especially with the defense unit. You know, what are those guys going to let us just block them? You know, first impression for these coaches, they're not just going to stand there. So it got into a there were no fights really, but there got, just like you were describing, there was a lot of guys chipping at each other. Hey, cool it. Yeah. Hey, you know, you came at me first. You know, we get back into the huddle, and I kid you not, every time we got back into the huddle, Coach Vermeil would come in and go, guys, it's just a walkthrough. Just a walk. We got to slow it down. We're not trying to get people hurt this week. You know, we'd go run the next play, and he'd come in and literally grab guys and go, hey, it's just a walkthrough. We got to slow it down. And so sure enough, the next day when we did our walkthrough, or at any point when we do walkthroughs, they made everybody take their helmets off. So it's kind of funny. It got pretty intense and pretty chirpy, but, you know, guys, obviously without the helmets, it really turned into an actual walkthrough, you know, a few steps, getting used to the plays, things like that. So
what's crazy about that, like you were saying earlier, like this is the first time you're playing with guys, but when you get into a situation like that separately as an offense, as a defense, it kind of gels you as a unit together because you get to, like, the offense gets together, like, man, F those dudes. Now we're going to go hard. They're going to come pick them out. And the defense is like, yo, we're going to punch the ass. And they come do that again. So it kind of builds unity quicker than actually, like, just, like, going through the regular team stuff.
No, and it's funny that, like I was talking about earlier, you know, you got to, especially in the short time we had, but, you know, even in the professionals, you're not playing with guys that you, for the most part, that you've known your whole life or known for 5 years, you know. You got to get that chemistry right away. And we kind of got that through practice. We were going against our own defense, you know, but at the same time, you know, us offensive linemen, we'd look at each other. You know, I was always taught at Michigan, you know, if, you know, you're going through what we would call fudge, you know, where the defense is supposed to just kind of lock up with the running back for a second, let him run. And I was always taught by Coach Funk, you know, don't let those guys do that, you know, because one guy holds him up a little bit longer than he should, and another, you know, a linebacker comes in, and then they start punching the ball. Next thing you know, there's eight guys around your running back, and they're beating him around like a pinball. So naturally, when we were out there, you know, I was trying to pull guys off because there were a few guys that would get on the running backs. And, you know, they're guys that I don't, you know, like I said, you know, hadn't played a bunch with, but it's like natural for me. It's like you got to protect the running back. And so they'd be locking up with him, punching the ball, trying to bring him down. And it's like, you know, so a bunch of us offensive linemen would say, hey, you know, hey, number 43, he was roughing the running back up a little too much. You know, if you get a chance, give him a little message, you know, next play. So kind of doing things like that, and, you know, we were able to, you know, bond a little bit quicker as an O-line, you know, being in that kind of environment. So that helped us out quite a bit.
Well, we're playing in games like this and also playing in the Big Ten. What did you think the line that you played against that, you know, that kind of impressed you? Because I've had this conversation with other linemen. If somebody ever asked me, how many other linemen you played against? And I would just say, none. They weren't that good. I could kick their ass any time. So, like, no, they weren't that good. And I wanted to, like, do other linemen feel the same way? Because, like, you know, on any given play, you can win one battle. So even though that guy might be an all-star, you're like, well, on this play, I'll push him 5 yards back. So you don't always think that guy is just great because you don't see him dominating you. So is it that same kind of feeling where, like, whoever you play against, like, nah, they're okay. They're not that great.
Yeah, with in training now, you know, you're with a bunch of, you know, guys from different schools and things like that. So people ask, you know, oh, you played against such and such team, you know, how was that guy that they said was supposed to be good, you know? And so, I would say there's still that mentality, and you have to have that as an offense, you know, as a competitor, as an athlete, you have to have that, I think there's a balance in there where you respect the guy. And it's kind of cliche, but, you know, you respect the guy. You go, hey, I know this guy's good. But at the same time, I think I'm better. And he may get me here, but I'm going to get him on the next play, you know, and hopefully get him to play after that and the play after that. So, and I had the opportunity to play, you know, against Alabama and Notre Dame, you know, Jesse Williams, Lewis Nix, you know, they had – you know, two teams right there that played the national title, and I thought I performed pretty well against both guys. Great linemen there. Ohio State, Hankins, you know, good D linemen, and I thought I held my own against those guys, and I did pretty well. So, and that's how you got to feel, just like you were saying. You know, they were good players. You know, they were good players, but I thought I did a nice job. Mm-hmm.
Well, as we come to a close, you just want to find out more about, you know, what you're doing off the field as far as school. We talked earlier, you said that you already graduated, and I say this in every show I do. The one thing I don't think is highlighted enough is that players do graduate and players do go to class. And I think for the most part, a lot of people believe that going to a school like a Michigan, that you're there to play football and players are skating by. There are players who do that, but I feel like the majority of players do get their degree. So, you know, talk to us about your degree, what you got your degree in, and what you're hoping to do with it after football, even in conjunction with football.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the whole idea is coming to college is getting that degree, and that's a huge emphasis at Michigan because it's such a great education. So, you know, I graduated and I have hopes to get into teaching high school history whenever my football career is all said and done. That's something I'd like to get into and ultimately do. And I've looked into doing Teach for America, which is, where I could go, I could get my master's and I would be, a full-time teacher and go into essentially what you'd call probably an underprivileged area, usually in a bigger city, and, find out if you really want to be a teacher, you know, and it's a great challenge to be. And I think naturally as a football player and some of the adversity I faced in life, for me, you know, already wanting to be a teacher, I enjoy trying to help other people, but in that particular scenario, people that maybe don't have the support from home and support in other areas that they need, they bring in someone like myself and to really be able to not only teach them, but to help them through life. So that's kind of my goal. And I'd like to get my master's, obviously, and go down that path. Like I said, whenever football ends for me and could be sooner, could be later, that's the area I would like to tap into. And hopefully, I have a little bit of entertainment myself too. That's something that I've never really messed with. But being at Michigan, I did impressions of coaches and kind of Saturday Night Live type stuff. And I've been urged by a lot of people that I need to maybe go into something like that. And that would be another kind of, I guess you could say, chasing a dream type thing like football has been for me, a complete dream come true. For me, you know, you got to keep going after dreams. So that might be something that I might look into on the side and see what I could do there too. So I like to think it's a bright future and there's always exciting opportunities. And I'm excited for it.
Hey, are you still rocking the Brooklyn hipster beer?
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's, I made the media known that, you know, it kind of started out as a Duck Dynasty thing and almost a challenge to myself. And that was last March, you know, kind of into April. And then all of a sudden by May, by the time it was May, I go, man, I don't want to keep this. I'm getting tired of it. It's starting to get a little hot out. And my teammates were like, man, you can't shave that.
Right.
You know, we worked with the Navy. We worked with the Navy SEALs, and they told me, you know, I got out there. I go, you guys are my excuse. You know, they flew, Coach Oak flew out the seniors to California, and I go, you guys will be my excuse. You know, nobody will argue with Navy SEALs.
Uh-huh.
I go, you know, you guys are all about being clean cut and everything. And they go, no way. They go, when we go out to Afghanistan or, you know, the Middle East, we grow out beards to blend in a little bit better. You have yourself an Afghan beard, and you got to keep that till the end of the season. So I go, man, so I wasn't going to argue with them. They were going to send a team after me otherwise. And I decided I'll keep it till the end of the season. And, you know, the season's been over for over a month now, and I still have it. So when I see my old coaches and teammates, they're going, man, when are you going to shave it? And, you know, I told them I'm not real sure. We'll see. Maybe in March, make it a full year. But I'm not sure. Could go any day, but could be here for a while. We'll see.
See, I like how the beard represents something different regionally. Because if you're over here in New York, you'll be wearing black frame glasses with no lenses, a plaid shirt with a deep V-neck from American Apparel, somewhere in Brooklyn, drinking like a Pabst Blue Ribbon or something with a bunch of hipster art students. Like, that's what that beard
signifies
in New York.
But
so,
I think once you break the 150 pound level, you can't rock the V-neck and the glasses and the scarf wrapped around my neck. I don't think that works. So for me, once you get past that kind of dweeby look, you're just a lumberjack. You're just a rough guy. So that's the look I'm going for.
I swear, I wish I could tell you that was the case, but in New York, skinny jeans knows no boundaries. It just doesn't matter. They don't care how much they weigh. Well, speaking of the lumberjack look, because O-linemen are usually the eccentric types in every locker room. They're always the guys who go hunting every weekend, or they are always into, like, the random thing. So being O-linemen, is there any, like, quirky off-the-field things that you find interesting? Well, obviously, you watch Duck Dynasty. But besides that, are you an avid hunter or anything?
You know, it's funny. Although I watch Duck Dynasty, I'm probably the opposite of those guys as far as the I wish I was, but I'm not a hunter. I'm just not into that. And I'll fish a little bit, but I'm more of, like I said, kind of an entertainer, movie kind of guy. But there are guys on the team. You know, one of my best friends, Rocco Corey, who played, came in with me and played up until this past year. He fits that bill. He literally every weekend was hunting, going home, working on his hot rod car, fishing, you know, going after deers, ducks, and all those things, and does it to this day. So he fits that bill, but, you know, it's kind of surprising. There are guys that kind of go to the beat of a different drum, you know, Taylor Lewan.
Right.
You'll never know what you're going to get with that guy. And being such a great football player, people probably think, oh, he's a great offensive lineman. He's probably you know, like you were saying, a real rough guy and,
right,
hunting and things like that. Well, he does it all. He hunts, fishes. He's kind of a hipster himself. So he gets into the other stuff too, and is kind of his own guy. So you kind of get it all. You know, when you get on a team that big, you got guys that kind of fit every bill, all different types.
Well, listen, Elliot, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, man. You're a great personality. I had a really, really enjoyed speaking with you. Everybody who's been listening, again, we've been talking with Elliot Mueller, offensive lineman, everything out of Michigan. Elliot, in parting, is there anything you want to say to anybody? Do you want to, you know, shout anybody out? Do you want them to follow you on your Twitter handle or anything? And, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
You know, it's just been a wonderful opportunity speaking with you and getting the opportunity to kind of get my name out there. You know, now that you mention it, of course, anybody can mention or look me up on Twitter at L. Mueller. You know, I'd like to say hey to my agent, obviously Steve Persia, and my buddy Derek Schrock, who's listening in. So it's been, you know, it's fun getting the opportunity to talk to people like you, and I just appreciate it, and you know, I'm excited about my future in the NFL, and hopefully it's a long one. We'll find out. I'm working hard to get there.
And you say it's L. Mueller, E-L-L, or E.L. Mueller? Mueller.
Yeah, my friends call me L, so I don't usually go by Elliot too much. Once I got to Michigan, yeah, Everybody started calling me L, so it's just E-L underscore Mueller, M-E-A-L-E-R.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of NFL Draft Player Spotlight Show in the books. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. So, everybody, we'll be back with more in-depth interviews and talking more about these guys who want to make impact, hopefully, in the NFL. So keep your eyes out, ears open, for the next stud that'll be coming up. Everybody, thank you for listening, and have a good night. And also, we'll be posting this up on Twitter as soon as possible. Good night.
NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight.